Hello, folks. This podcast episode is brought to you by our sponsor this week, Encounter Party, an audio adventure podcast featuring six professional voice actors battling through an epic Dungeons & Dragons campaign, edited down to focus purely on the story.
It is set in a realm that is familiar to me and no one else on the podcast, perhaps you as well, the realm of Ravnica from Magic the Gathering. So if you're a fan of Planeswalkers, check it out. Maybe an appearance by perhaps, Garrick, the hunter. Any of these people could show up. You have no idea. And it's written by a novelist and a playwright. So you know that they know what they're doing. And it's not a GM that's just like, a goblin appears. You know, it's good.
That is how I pictured D&D, but it's nice to know that this is a little bit more compelling than that. The thing that really strikes me is, A, how everyone's voice, because they're all professional voice actors, it's not like, for example, the horrible voice you're hearing right now. It's like, it's pleasing to the ears, and also it's extremely fine-tuned. All the fluff is cut. There's no 25 minutes talking about Grandma's Boy at the beginning, for instance.
There might be.
Which you might be hearing soon.
It's my only problem with it is they don't talk enough about Grandma's Boy.
It is very funny that when we talk about the things that we think are cool about this podcast, they're all things that our podcast does not do.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, they edit it down. It's super concise. The people doing it are really talented speakers.
mm-hmm. But we're making sure they're not a direct competitor in the market. See, so
yes,
yeah,
the yin to our yang.
This is a great time to get in on Encounter Party because they are releasing their third season in a few weeks. There are two full seasons already available for free to listen to, so you can get caught up before the new one starts. If you go to encounterparty.com, that's where all of the info is. And it's available wherever you listen to podcasts, so check it out, Encounter Party.
Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things each week that make you say the thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden. How are you?
Eli is doing very pensive.
I'm steepling my fingers.
Yeah.
This is going to be a very thoughtful episode for me. This is going to be very.
I'm excited about that.
Consideration.
I can't wait to hear some Eli insights.
Consider this. I don't have anything more.
I feel like that's how Russell Brand records. He's just got his fingers like this kind of the whole time. I don't know if that's true or not. But
I do think that's something where, even if we didn't intend to change anything, if we all recorded the podcast while steepling our fingers, it would completely change what we do.
The vibe,
the whole tone of the podcast would change.
It's like a brain version of one of those power poses, you know, where they're like, you sit with your feet spread, you will naturally be more confident, you will be more alpha, or whatever that is.
Yeah, that 30 Rock bit where Liz is trying to negotiate with Jack and she reads his book about how to negotiate, and there's a thing about I think it's whoever's in the higher chair is gonna win, so they keep trying to outdo each other and have lower and lower chairs until one of them is just sitting on the floor. It's like that.
So I just get kicked out of the Zoom? Was I getting
you
too...
you briefly escaped. I don't
you
know what
flickered,
happened.
Yeah.
Oh wow, okay. Well, yeah, sorry guys, my mom's on the phone. I'll have to reconnect.
I'm recording my podcast.
No!
Man, that was the most fucking humiliating thing about being at my parents' house was that I had to do that all the time. Can you stop vacuuming? I'm recording a podcast. I really can't have you doing that.
I'm recording. It's my dream. you could stop vacuuming. You're vacuuming in my dream, so.
People need to hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm excited to. I don't have any problems when we record, but I'm going to have my own a place to call my own soon, and then I can really let loose. I'm going to start screaming a lot more on the
Porky
podcast.
Pig, constant Porky Pig in.
Yeah. All day, all day. Just a shirt. There are windows, but that's not going to stop me.
That's right.
just porky pigging it.
I gotta say, like, living alone is awesome, and I congratulations to moving to a new place. But I feel like it's very brave of you to move into a place alone right now, just because I feel like I already am going kind of feral just staying in my apartment. If I lived alone right now, I would just be like a mountain man. Like, I would grow a beard somehow. Like, it would happen. I would grow like a scraggly, unkempt beard, just like
in your name.
From my psychological condition that I would be in.
Well, I'm gonna be connected to the net so deeply.
It's true.
I'm gonna get one of those neural links and put it on my head and just, you know, jack in every day.
Did you guys see that like scorpion chair thing that had like?
Oh
the
yeah, my friend sent
screen.
It to me. it's so pointy. It's so funny.
Yeah,
it's extremely pointy.
Yeah,
I like how many people pointed out that it's like the same rig that the guy had, basically in Grandma's Boy, and it's like, wow, a lot of Grandma's Boy knowledge on the timeline here.
I feel like everybody secretly saw Grandma's Boy.
Oh, it's good. I think it's funny. Yeah, like, it's good. I'm not. Yeah,
but it's never discussed. But I feel like if anybody brings up Grandma's Boy, everyone's like, yeah, it's good. I saw it. It just isn't. We're not. It should be talked about more. We should.
It's a Sandler movie without the Sandler. It's a mm-hmm. weird thing. It's you know.
The guy,
I've actually never seen it. I'm like the one person.
It's the whole crew except for Sandler. It's very odd.
There's good stuff. There's that guy. There's that really tall, weird guy that I can't remember his name. And he wears like he's such a good like joke of a nerd because he wears like a leather duster. He's like
He's the guy. Yeah, the guy from Avatar.
Yeah. And then the guy is just like has a great all time burn where they're just like, hey man, how much do clothes cost in the Matrix? And it's just like, yes,
that's a good burn.
Get him.
That's Jonah Hill. There's weirdly, it's a weird movie. I mean, Jonah Hill chopping it up with Alan Covert and the rest of the Sandler NYU Film School crew.
I would also say I wouldn't call it a good movie, but surprise. But we've talked. It's been a while since we talked
Julie
about
Julie Andrews.
That we talked about Strange Wilderness so many times. But I feel like Steve Zahn is having a moment, and I think with that in mind, check out Strange Wilderness. Good stuff.
Steve Zahn is unrelated was that just unrelated to the Grandma's Boy entirely, or was there like a peg there? Just like a movie that people think is not good? Because he's not
in
Grandma's.
It's the same crew. And Strange Wilderness has a lot of the Sandler guys in it.
Yeah, I guess. But it has like Alan Covert and the guys who, you know, the guys who always play the supporting parts in his movies.
Yeah. Isn't it a Happy Madison?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Hmm. Not a lot of knowledge about
Strange
Wilderness.
I don't think I've ever
heard
of this movie. I don't know what it is.
I'm not sure it ever went to theaters. I don't remember how I found it. I may have seen it in some sort of alternate dimension or timeline. Hopefully it does exist.
This but is your Mandela effect, is inventing Steve Zahn movies that didn't exist in reality.
No, it definitely exists because of the shark noise. I mean, that's the only thing I know about it, though, to be shark fair. It's like classic. Justin Long playing a stoned guy is not really going to make me run into the theater, so I have not seen that part of it. But
it's pretty funny.
The thing about Grandma's Boy that's weird is that, like, I think she's in Grandma's Boy, right? Am I making up? No, it is. Julie Andrews, like from The Sound of Music, is in Grandma's Boy as like a horny. She's the grandma.
Oh, she's the.
Or no,
horny
she's the
grandma.
Friend of the grandma. I think I can't remember exactly.
She's the Rose of the Golden Girls, right?
Who's the Grandma's Boy?
Girl? Oh no, it's not Julie Andrews. It's Shirley Jones. Never mind.
The Grandma's Boy is that
back.
Guy.
It's the one from the Partridge Family. I take it back.
Get him out of Grandma's Boy.
Grandma's Boy is that guy. I can't remember his name.
Alan Covert.
Oh, that's Alan Covert?
Yeah, the guy who plays the chauffeur in The Wedding Singer. Does that do it for you? Does that give you the guys?
Yes, it does do it for me. I love The Wedding Singer. Finally, we're talking about a movie I've seen.
Finally. I thought Alan Covert was that super tan guy.
No, that's Peter Dante. See, I know that guy's name.
Patty gets to talk about all his friends from the
handsome
the
guy
TV.
With the high voice, like this guy. Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
The guy from Eight Crazy Nights. Look, we're talking about the Sandlerverse. This is now a Sandlerverse discussion.
And then there's the Sandler cast. Then there's the hillbilly guy, or hillbilly seeming guy. I think I forget his name, but he's the one from Kill Bill, who she bites his lip off when she's in the hospital bed. He's the guy who pays to pays Buck at the when she's in the hospital in the coma. But she
never
wakes
seen
up.
Kill Bill.
Okay, well,
it's two movies, which I feel is greedy.
I like it. It's like Strange Wilderness. Check it out. Never seen Kill Bill.
Not interested. Two movies. Yeah, well,
no, thanks.
Maybe if Strange Wilderness was like Strange Wilderness Part One, I'd be like, no thanks. This is a lot of time. This is
you finally find out that you finally meet the wilderness in Part Two. It's just the wilderness is just voiceover all throughout Part One.
And then at the end, the wilderness kills you. That's what happens.
Yes.
And then you kill the wilderness.
No spoilers.
No spoilers for Strange Wilderness. I'll make sure not to spoil it. So
please don't.
If anyone wants to check out Strange Wilderness this week.
I will say, if people haven't seen a movie, I don't give a shit. But like, I am a little surprised you haven't seen Kill Bill, because it does seem like something you would like.
Because swords very, and stuff.
Yeah, there's swords.
Yeah, it's very anime like inspired. There's a lot in there that I would assume that you would like.
Yeah, maybe I will. I'd say that I just feel like I barely watch movies anymore.
Boat.
For some reason, the idea of dedicating like 2.5 hours or whatever is like very daunting to me right now. I finally
That's
watched Avengers Endgame. That's about as far as I've gotten.
I feel like I'm having the opposite experience, where like watching a TV show right now, like if I watching something with like hours and hours potentially for me to experience, is like very overwhelming for me right now. And I've gone back to watching more movies and like self-contained, just like. Mm. 2 hours, as opposed to like if I know a series is like 30 hours long, I'm way less likely to pay attention for the whole thing. Like,
well, you're watching series that people want, you know, that you're expected to finish. I watch a lot of series that you can literally walk away at any second and miss nothing. It's a lot of trash that just doesn't matter and has no plot anyways.
We're doing a lot of TV because you don't have to pick what the next thing is, because there's just another episode, which is nice. There's some that's like actual stuff we want to pay attention to, and there's some that's just like, here's another, like ER is the one we're doing right now. That's just like, it's like, you know, it's good. It's, you know, even the late seasons, like it's entertaining. It's just like, the stakes in terms of paying attention are not super high. It's like, all right, you know.
No cliffhangers.
I could probably get into a procedural or something right now, but yeah, I think also, like, I deactivated my Twitter last week, and just not, like, because I feel like if I'm watching a
good
TV
timing.
Show...
Not that it was...
yeah, you really got out ahead of that.
I got out at the right time. I called it. It's, the thing that made me call it was, we talked about it a little on the bonus last week, but like a bunch of places in Austin that I spent like all my time in closed, and I was really sad. And then like the day after I found out the bar that I spent like an entire decade in closed, I woke up and the first thing I saw was the story about the ICE hysterectomies. And I was like, I don't need to be on Twitter. Like, it's fine. I don't need to be here. I can come back. It'll be okay. Yeah. But like not being on Twitter, if I don't have like a thing to idly scroll through, if 5 minutes of a movie is not interesting, makes me pay way more attention.
Oh yeah, like, for sure.
Yeah,
it's definitely
I watch everything with subtitles now because it makes me fucking look at the screen.
Because like, you're a millennial.
My stupid millennial brain.
Why I do subtitles too. I always do closed captioning, and I just kind of assumed it was because my hearing isn't very good, but I think it might also be for like attention reasons subconsciously.
Could you turn up the volume?
I was
trying to think of any way to say that it didn't sound sarcastic, but it was like, you know, you can change the volume.
It's more like it, like, well, first of all, I live with roommates, so I don't want to watch things super loud, but also it's more like I don't like missing like enunciations. Like I have trouble understanding people who are mumbling or like who have really heavy accents, so like it's subtitles, I think, are
do not watch me. Snatch. Brad Pitt, boy, it's gonna be tough to.
I didn't know
out.
Somebody. I don't even remember how it came up, but apparently, or was it on the podcast that someone was like, "Pikey is a slur," and I was like, "What?"
Well, it's. I mean, like the Irish travelers have not been historically treated very well. They're basically like a different, you know, they're like Roma people. Like, so it's it is. I think.
I know, like, I wouldn't disagree. I wasn't like, this is my stand. This is my hill to die on. But I was just like, the only time I've ever heard that word is about Snatch. Is like, only ever, the only time it's ever come up in conversation is discussing Brad Pitt's character from Snatch.
In Ireland,
I think it's a very specifically UK
Yeah. Well, because in Ireland they have a different word for those folks, and it's not. I don't want to say it because I don't know how bad it is, but I know what it is. It's not that. It's a different. You know, it's a nickname. I don't know if it's as bad or if it's meant to be. You know, whatever. But it starts with a T. So look it up if you want. Also, I want to say
we're being sensitive as bagpipes cue in the background.
Yeah. I like they were like trying to like talk about this delicately, and Shelby's like, play the cartoon music.
It's okay because I'm Irish. It's fine.
Shelby has found some sort of MIDI bagpipe that's like it's like old school Moog bagpipe or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it's in a Wave collection that he has. It's very yeah.
It was his. He has all his old Nokia ringtones saved, and this was one of them.
Oh, the drums
would be
are
a banger
in.
To have on here. That'd be so.
This music sounds like the fair at the beginning of an RPG.
Yeah.
I miss where you're those just like MIDI ringtones.
Yeah, a boy's about to come up and ask if I've heard the rumors that monsters are back.
You just woke up in bed and you're going. The fair is on. This is just Chrono Trigger.
Yeah,
that's
someone's
what, that's
about
what
to ask me. Say, oh, it's good. You're finally awake. That's the song is about.
My favorite, because there was that, like, I said I deleted my Twitter. I still do look at it. Like, you know, I still have a problem.
You have a burner?
But, like, I look
no
at
one's
it.
Ever
I look
really
at it a
gone.
Lot less.
You should have a burner just so you can call it the Kath Bernardora.
I actually do have a burner, but I only follow like a very small amount of people on
there,
so it keeps
me off it.
You're
like an NBA player.
Exactly.
If you called it Kath Bernardora, people would know that it was her.
That's true. I mean, it's locked. It's not. People can't see my post. But I saw that meme that was like, if you, my loot drop if you kill me. And they like post the things that you have or whatever. Yeah. And my favorite version of that was someone just said like, "You can't." I'm. You know, a lot of people were saying like, "Oh well, I'm unkillable" or whatever. And I saw someone who was like, "You can't kill me. I'm the villager who explains the rules to you in the tutorial. That's who I am."
You can only hit me, and I'll go, "Hey, cut that out." Over and over.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's like
hey,
I am
come
marginal.
Come on, man.
That's who I am.
I'm extremely jazzed to play the. They let out like all the old Marios on Switch.
Yeah, I
Mario
got it last
64.
Night.
I'm gonna yank on that guy's face all over. Just really go back.
I played a little bit last night. I got it like very late, because it took a while to download. But I started playing 64 and like, man, that was like an instant like brain transportation. Not to like my childhood home or anything, but to. When they had like a demo unit of the 64 in the Toys R Us that was like walking distance from my house. Like I didn't live in a very walkable area, but it was like a 10-minute walk. Like you had to like walk on like the US-1, which is like the post road, which is like the big highway road that goes all the way from Maine to Florida. but so it was like weird for me to walk there, but I was too young to drive and my mom wouldn't bring me to Toys R Us constantly. And we would just go with me and a friend and, just play the demo 64, like play Mario, like, you know, just kind of for like hours at a time until it came out. And that's what it immediately reminded me of, especially the part at the beginning where you can mess with his face. That was like,
yes.
I was reminiscing yesterday too about the Nature Company. It's like all of a piece, just like being a kid at the mall or whatever. Probably because everything is so bad now that it's like, I would just like to go back, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Somebody has a good joke about that too, that like, they're like, people were always like, oh man, games are so bad now. They used to be so good. And he's like, games didn't used to be better. You just used to like be a child. And it was like, yeah, Nintendo, your parents weren't divorced when you were playing Nintendo. That's why you like,
and they're
better.
Just, they're monetizing that. And it's, I will fall for it every,
it's working.
I mean,
yeah.
Just to put it out. Yeah. Like put everything on there, put Chrono Trigger on there.
Yeah. I want some of the old RPGs for sure.
I would camp out at the Sam Goody at Mazza Gallery in DC. I was a little boy, and I'd be like reaching up to the Super Nintendo display unit and playing Donkey Kong Country. Like all
what
day.
Is this song?
It's a reminiscent song. I don't know.
Just, but like, is it just like generic reminiscent music? Like,
let's see. We might be able to see the
10
file
hours
name.
YouTube.
No, Shelby is hiding all of his moves from us. We can only see the
top. Yeah, we can't tell. We don't have
bar.
We
can't look at his. Sometimes
my
we can
moves.
See the whole soundboard, but he's hiding
my
his power level.
Secret.
Just when I reminisce, the dog barking starts. That's the classic sound we all love.
Yeah.
Oh man, I saw the dog the other day. I saw him outside.
What kind of dog is he?
I did not pet him.
I bet. Let me guess. I bet it's like a Jack Russell.
It's not. It's as I said on the podcast with the dog barking. He is a mid-size curly. I don't know what kind he is, but
that's right. Okay.
He's a mid-size curly.
I had forgotten.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, somehow I had forgotten the very memorable phrase, mid-size curly. Yeah. I don't know how
I had one of those. We've talked about it before, but it's always like, when I go in the Discord, you know, I mostly lurk nowadays, but I see people discussing the last episode in there, and every time, every moment that they mention, I have zero memory of. Because somebody was like, man, mid-size curly's really cracked me up. And I was like, what the fuck were we talking about? I was like, what are we...
I thought that episode was very funny because I saw a bunch of people say, like, I cannot hear the dog. Like, this is fake. Like, I cannot hear it.
Okay, so we got a text from Shelby here that shows us some of the soundboard and including the stuff that we... And it says, sentimental piano music. It's all these little buttons around each other. French music, Italian music, Irish music, psycho music, fancy hotel restaurant piano. And it looks like new... nuclear evacuation alarm sound effect. So those are some of the...
Shelby, can we get a dose of that millionaire thinking?
I don't see that one. I want to hear millionaire thinking.
Yeah.
I bet it's... Yeah, it's from the game show. This is a nostalgic piece of music for me.
Yes, yeah. This is bringing back some memories for sure.
Oh my god. This is kind of a banger, dude. Bring this back.
Did anybody see the... It was a AMC... It did like a joint thing with, I think it was a British production company. It's called Quiz, and it was about these British people who like were accused of cheating Millionaire like way back when it was first on. It's pretty good. It's got the guy who plays Wansgans from Succession. He's the lead in it, the male.
Oh,
lead.
Hell yeah. Can you send it to me? Because that sounds like it might be a good lie, cheat, and steal episode.
Yeah.
Here's it, just because I think this is reminding me of James Bond. Because I shared before we recorded, because I think you said like Daniel Craig or Tom Hardy might be playing Bond. Who are your secret top Bonds? Because I said that I think that Daniel Day-Kim would absolutely fucking kill it as James Bond.
I think he'd be great. I don't really have much.
There's room on the Daniel Day-Kim train. Jump on. Get in.
I've seen like two Bond movies. Like I don't have a connection to it enough to think about who to cast. But yeah. Daniel Day Kim is great. If he was in it, I would definitely watch it.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of like British actors that I think are cool. Like that's kind of like the main thing, you know. Tom Hardy is one, Idris Elba is one. Those are both kind of hack opinions, I guess.
I like they're hack.
They don't have to be
viable
British.
Options.
Well, right. I mean, like when I say hack, I mean like not interesting at all. Just like, oh yeah, duh. They're like clearly two of the favorites if there are favorites or whatever. But like, I'm also somebody who, yeah, Bond, like the things that people like about Bond, like the people that are real Bond heads, like the old stuff, like is probably the stuff that I don't like how it's super corny and he's like, you know, mm-hmm. like I thought like the late, like GoldenEye was good, but I thought like the later Pierce Brosnan stuff where he's like super foppy and kind of silly is just kind of like, all right, this isn't really my thing. But I like Casino Royale a lot. Like I think that's a terrific movie.
That's Mikkelsen, baby.
I think that's why I haven't gotten like super into Bond, because like I really like spy thrillers. Like I do really like that genre. Like Shelby texted Tom Hiddleston, who was like in contention a while ago, and he did another thing by the guy who wrote the Bond novels, The Night Manager, which was great. I really, really liked that. But like
he's Loki, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's Loki. And he was really good in that, and it's like it's a similar like spy thriller. Hugh Laurie plays like the malevolent like billionaire villain, and it's really good. But like I think Bond is too, it has too, like it's good at what it is, but I don't really like what it is. Like I would rather watch like a very serious like kind of dry procedural spy. Like I like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Like I like that shit. You know.
Yeah.
I mean the Daniel Craig ones are good. How about this, Hugh Laurie as House, as Bond.
Whoa.
Yes.
And he has the cane, and he's still addicted to Vicodin.
Man, during the beginning of quarantine, I rewatched House. That show does not hold up at all.
Yeah,
oh, boy.
I'm like, I think I'd be now, I'd be like, yeah, I would not want this guy as my doctor, like, at
he's
all.
Like,
he'd
also, he's
he'd
like,
also get fired way more times than even, like, Michael Scott. He's, like, not a good guy.
Yeah. He's like if Reddit were a doctor. Like, he's Deadpool. He's Dr. Deadpool. Yeah, that's, like, what it is.
He's, like, condescending Wonka, the doctor.
Yeah, yeah. It's also,
and I have a lot of sentimental attachment to that show, so like I still like it because I watched it as a kid, and like watching that show got me into like Hugh Laurie's British comedy stuff that I really like. But like, man, I could never. If you'd never seen that show and you watched it now, you'd be like, culture was so stupid in the mid 2000s. Yeah. Like, is bad.
And the thing he's like so good at, that's the reason they can never fire him, is just knowing what diseases people have. Which it feels like they just made every other doctor dumber, because it's like most people should be able to figure that out. It's like kind of a checklist situation.
The idea is he runs a diagnostic department where like people who've been to every doctor in the world and they can't figure it out go to him.
Yeah.
He's not just like a normal,
yeah,
regular doctor, but
not up on the
house. It's still very dumb.
Yeah.
It's extremely stupid. He like blows up the hospital. Yeah. Like, it's so dumb.
Also, continuing,
he's like the trend, Joker.
Oh yeah. Continuing
the
trend
like
of insane news coming out while we're recording. I don't know if you guys heard this. Russia has claimed Venus.
Yeah, I just saw that. That's really something.
They just said they Venus just, they is said Russia Venus, now.
Yeah, Venus is a Russian planet. It's like, well, I look, no,
it's
I don't have time for this.
A gaseous planet. It doesn't even have like land, right?
If you want, look, if you want to claim it's yours, you know, we'll talk about it when you get there. Okay?
Yeah. We'll the figure this out later.
The only way to respond to this is like a dad on a road trip. It's just like, sure, yeah, okay, great. Yeah, you have Venus. Cool.
We'll start the negotiations when you arrive. You better not go to war over a planet that nobody can fucking go to right now.
You can't even go. Am I wrong? Look, I'm not.
It has land. It has land, but it does have
like
Earth.
Small. It's like mostly.
But
gas.
It has, yeah, it's has like an extremely thick, gaseous, lethal atmosphere around the part that is ground.
They just want
like,
to run kart races on those rings, man. I'm telling them that's what they want.
Oh yeah,
that's Saturn. Venus.
Russia has claimed Rainbow
Road.
Oh yeah.
See, I don't even know. So yeah. Whatever.
Rainbow Road is now a Russian territory.
Wow.
That's the new thing.
Well, oh, man. We should probably start numbers pretty soon. So
yeah, yeah. I want to take a second to just do some corrections here for myself. Venus does not have rings. I'm embarrassed about that one. I'll be thinking about that one later.
I wasn't going to call it out. I was like, it might have one ring. I just gave that to you.
No, Kev got me already. It was Saturn. How could I forget? That was Perry Saturn's submission finisher, the Rings of Saturn.
How I remember that Saturn has
rings.
Yeah,
that's the main way I remember it.
That's why, because Saturn is the one that you can always get, because like the rest of them, you know, if you had to like do a test where you like named all the planets, Saturn was like, you're like, let's get Saturn down right away, because I know that's the ring one.
Yeah.
And then you got to remember the rest
of them.
I
feel like I don't know. Maybe we spent longer on the planets in school. I feel like that's something I'm not going to screw up.
Yeah. Did you have a mobile above you for a long time? Is that why?
I did not.
In your crib?
Probably in my like second grade class I did.
Your damn
crib. We had to draw them a lot, you know? Mm-hmm.
You had to draw the planets a lot?
Yeah.
We definitely didn't have to
just
draw the planets
draw them a lot.
Why would you draw the planets?
Did you at least color them in? Yeah.
Big part of school is drawing the planets a lot.
What the fuck?
Look, I went to public school.
People thought
like
cursive
that
is useless. Drawing the planets.
Not when I was like in high school. Like, I'm
hey,
talking
can
like
you
second
draw
grade.
Neptune? Yeah, sure. It's still a circle, right?
Here it is. Okay. All right.
Look, I can't participate in Twitter gifted kid discourse. I was clearly not in those classes.
Clearly not gifted.
We were drawing the planets a lot.
You would think the kids who were gifted would have learned from being gifted how to avoid bullies, and it's not to tell everyone that you're gifted. Like, didn't they learn that when they were in school? Like, that was pretty dumb. Yeah.
What was the average test score on the drawing planets quiz? Was there a kid who wasn't getting it?
But yeah, the only thing
their
I think,
parents. Hey, your kid's having
trouble. There probably was a kid who wasn't getting it because we had to do it a lot. So like, if we all got it right the first time, we wouldn't keep doing it.
Oh my god, it's so funny to me.
We had a teacher who made us draw a map of the U.S. in less than a minute with all the major rivers. That was like a thing we had to learn in seventh grade.
Oh yeah,
I remember that.
I'm talking like 7 years old. You're talking.
No,
we're not doing this in seventh grade.
The main thing I remember
the
in
idea
that
of
definitely
drawing the planets is fine. The idea of doing it more than once,
yeah,
is
a lot
unbelievable.
Is the, to me, a lot was the thing that stood out. Not doing it, just doing it a lot is very strange.
Yeah, you need to do that like once and you got it locked in.
Like you can do it once and then you can just look at like someone else's, you know, like an actual diagram. You don't have
You've produced the not like a guide to the knowledge. You don't have to keep producing the same. Yeah.
You gotta drill it in and make sure you know. All right, so
look, you mock me, but I know Saturn has rings.
Yeah, so. No, I know that's why we're talking about this. That's on me.
I think you'd know Saturn had rings without drawing the planets a lot. That's like a bonus question they give you on a quiz because the teacher like accidentally made it too hard and needs to give extra points. And they're like a bonus. Draw the planets. Draw the fucking.
It's like, which planet is yellow? Like it's like okay.
Oh man.
The other thing I wanted to say is I said it before, but Julie Andrews is not in Grandma's Boy. It's Shirley Jones from the Partridge Family. Julie Andrews was in. She was the voice of the giant sea monster in Aquaman.
The new one.
Similar roles.
Similar. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what she sounded like.
She was, what was the name of the thing? Hang on. Sorry, everyone. Karathen, the big giant squid thing. Looks like the Kraken, kind of.
This is the music that was playing when Kath was drawing the planets.
Yes.
Just a big bead of sweat on her forehead.
They have the lights in the classroom, and the lights scramble around and then zoom in on her.
It's really difficult too because you try to phone a friend and they're just like trying to describe to you how to draw the planets. Yeah, like it's not that much help.
They're like, hey, you know a circle? Yeah, it's that. Unless it's Saturn, then it's two circles. Oh boy.
And the last thing
it
I wanted to say
should play every
we...
time you have to Google something.
Yeah, that's a good idea. The last thing I want to say before, and I'll do number five. I just want to say RIP to Karma. We found that out after the last show. Speaking of places that closed, that was a bummer to read about. So
We miss you, Karma. Yeah. A place like extremely, someone pointed this out, like it's super sad that it closed. I'm very, very bummed about it because I have a lot of good memories associated with it. That said, it was crazy that it was open until now.
Yeah. And
it's
JP,
truly wild.
We will move on, but JP McNade reminded me of perhaps one of my favorite moments in comedy, which was he was doing Karma. JP is a good comic, so I don't feel bad saying he was kind of bombing.
Yeah, he's excellent.
He was bombing, and he tried to save it by like spinning the mic by the wire, and he spun it once, and the mic disconnected and shot into the wall. It was in the middle of his set, so he had to go get it.
Yep.
It wasn't done.
Yeah.
That was a classic.
Reconnected and then continued attempting to do stand-up comedy to a non-receptive audience.
Yeah. I mean, that broke the crowd, though. Everyone was laughing at that, for sure.
He was the sacrificial
and then also,
limb.
Yeah, the Tommy McNamara making eye contact with a lady throwing up in the back of the room.
Classic.
While the puke was coming out of her mouth. Classic.
Harrowing stuff.
Anyway, RIP Karma. We'll see you at the crossroads, I guess. Number five.
Number five.
All right, number five. This one I think came from a couple people, but Wet Bigfoots is in the Discord. Van Morrison, famous crank. Who also put out some songs and is continuing to record songs, is not a fan of the lockdowns, is not a fan of the pandemic measures in the UK, and he has accused the government of taking our freedom and has put out three new songs, protest songs about the lockdowns, I want to see if I can pull up the lyrics here, but the thing that just sticks out to me is, you know, aside from all the just kind of it's annoying and like, you know, come on, man, like you're in your mansion or whatever. Like, I can't imagine he's really suffering that much other than he just can't do live shows, I guess. But, you know.
Yeah, can't perform for his fans who are the most likely people to die of the coronavirus.
Yeah. But
dying
like
for the chance to gyrate slightly at a Van Morrison concert.
Well, this dude, like, I mean, like, he couldn't condense it into one song. He had to put out three different protest songs. He really
a lot of freedoms are taken away.
He really thinks he had enough bullets in the chamber to put out not just to record three, but to release three. You know what I mean? Like, we really you're not just gonna pick one. Are we not diluting the message a little bit?
Just records one. He's ready to walk out of the studio and like opens the door and he's like, you know what? And then he just closes the door again. He's like, I got more on this. I got some more thoughts.
Right. I mean, like,
I think Van Morrison is like a brilliant capitalist for
DMCA
writing.
From him.
Yeah. But I was going to say
I think that was short enough. I think we're okay.
But that song playing I just think he's a genius for writing a song called Brown Eyed Girl, statistically the most common eye color.
Yeah.
Like, making money hand over fist because everyone's like, that's my song.
Yeah,
because
man.
I have brown eyes. Like,
that's so
like
quietly
5 billion people on this planet. Yeah. It's so good.
It's also just like, yeah, I mean,
Black
this is like,
girl.
Hey, here's a song for weddings.
Yeah.
Auburn hair.
Statistically going with the average. My size 14, 5'4" woman. Just
it's like
everything.
It's like when somebody has one of those names where they have like a billion songs about them. Like, I'm trying to think of, you know, just something like Mary or something, and they're like, this is my song. It's like, a lot of songs are your song, all right?
Yeah.
If your name is Mary, your song is like a bunch of old Irish jigs, which is
also like,
oh, this is my song.
The Wind Cried Your Name, Jimi Hendrix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. But like most of them are old, weird, like folk songs about how your husband murdered you or something.
Yeah, or Mary Had a Little Mary. Lamb. That's the classic.
So
your husband was lost at sea.
Yeah, Mary Had a Little Lamb, another great song to imagine you accidentally pulling your headphones out at work too.
It's weird to imagine like even there being a recording of Mary Had a Little Lamb you could listen to. Cause it's like, if I want to hear Mary Had a Little Lamb, I can simply imagine it.
Yeah. Like it's actually worse than what your imagination can do with Mary Had a Little Lamb. Mary Had a Little Lamb has nothing going on.
Also, like, you just say Mary Had a Little Lamb and you're basically listening to it. That's what it is.
Also, I need to get this out of my brain. I must state it because my brain has decided it's like, here's a thing you might like. And it's just Bone Thugs and Harmony Crossroads, like that part of Crossroads. But instead of what they say, it's going, I'm going to draw the planets. Like, it's just like Crossroads, but about drawing the planets. And it's going in my head and I'm going insane. So I needed to put it out into the world and take it out of my head. But
I'm not familiar with that song, but I'm glad that you exercised.
You don't
that.
Know Bone Thugs, Crossroads?
Crossroads?
Really?
I don't think so. If I heard it, I might.
You've definitely heard it. Okay, well, let's go back. Speaking of music, Van Morrison. So there are three songs. They're coming out. They already have release dates. Born to Be Free comes out September 25th, so Friday.
Hold on, I'm putting these on my calendar. Just slow down a little bit.
As I Walked Out comes out on October 9th, and No More Lockdown comes out October 23rd. And again,
they just get more specific as they
right,
go.
Right. These are three
my
different songs.
By Van
like,
Morrison.
Really could, this couldn't have been fit into one song, the sentiment here. So,
Ouchie My Ears.
Y'all Masks
by Van
Smell
Morrison.
Bad Too by Van Morrison.
So I'm gonna read the lyrics, or some of the lyrics anyway. They're just from the Variety story here. In Born to Be Free, which is the first one, he sings, the new normal is not normal. It's no kind of normal at all. Everyone seems to have amnesia. Don't need the government cramping my style. Now, his style, based on what I can see from recent photos, is a pork pie hat and a suit that looks like it has pinstripes drawn on it with chalk.
A chalk stripe suit.
And give them an inch, they take a mile. And you know, that's the first one. Like, every picture of him, somebody said on Twitter when I posted like that, all the pictures of him are funny because they're all him like belting out something when he's like, but he looks like he's just been stabbed in the back in every picture of him.
Yeah, he looks like he's like a frog croaking a little bit. It's just like I can hear this like croak when I see the
that's
kind of
his vibe, I think.
And then the lyrics from As I Walked Out, which is October 9th. Features the lines. First of all, we get 2 weeks in between the first one and the second one, and then and I guess they're every 2 weeks. As I Walked Out, well, on the government website from the 21st March 2020. So already, you know, talking about the government website. This isn't really a This I'm doesn't feel like Google. Timeless lyrics. This is not going to be played at weddings like Brown Eyed Girl.
Right.
It said COVID-19 was no longer high risk. Then 2 days later, they put us under lockdown. This is just a Facebook post sent to music. Yeah. Like, that's what
Does it even rhyme, like, close to anything? Or is it more spoken word?
I don't know. It's probably like his, you know, like kind of just, you know.
Pretty much how he sounds.
You're thinking of ZZ Top.
And then the third one. The third one's a little bit more poetic. Okay, no more lockdown, no more government overreach, no more fascist bullies disturbing our peace. So again, now you are the fascists, you see, classic. Yes.
Turned on your head.
No more taking of our freedom and our God-given rights, pretending it's for our safety when it's really to enslave. So we're being enslaved by the keeping old people from getting sick or whatever. So
that this is very similar to the slavery, I think. Yes, good point, Van Morrison. To Van Morrison.
And I guess he put out a whole statement, I guess, that has since been taken down from his website, but I don't know that he disagrees with anything that's in it, because obviously these songs seem to match generally what he's saying. I do think he apparently tried to rope Andrew Lloyd Webber into this, which I think maybe he said, come on, man, and maybe that had something to do with it, but I don't know. Anyway, look, one song seems like it could have gotten the job done, but we got three coming. Maybe we can play them, some of them on the bonus or something, that, you know, when they come
out, or not.
I'm fine either way. I think we get the gist.
Really does not speak to his prowess as a songwriter that it takes three different songs to get the point across. Like,
right. I mean, especially the one talking about the fucking, like, the government website and, like, giving a date and talking, like, come on, like,
how are you not writing that one and you're just like, okay, I'm kind of struggling here. Like, this was a bad idea.
This is like, I'm not a songwriter, this is not transcendent, like, art I'm producing right now.
Yeah. They're all just Brown Eyed Girl also, but with different lyrics.
Government website.
Like, it's not very stirring the way that, like, at least, like, the no more overreach, like, fascist bullies, like, it's like a, you know, but, like, even if that's a verse, talking about the government website is just not doing it.
It's like, it sounds like a parody of a Rage Against the Machine song. Like, it's like, if there was some, like, right-wing version of Rage Against the Machine that came out to try to, like, I don't know, have an alternative. That's what it's...
Well, conservatism is the new punk rock, as we know. So
I'm imagining like Billy Bragg or something. Like somebody, because there are like folk musicians who write sort of contemporary, you know, like that's like one musical tradition was sort of like a way to get people news. Like that's like what murder ballads are. Like there is like a precedent for this kind of songwriting, but like this isn't how they do it. It's not like
Howl
not talking
Wolf.
About logging onto a government website.
Yeah, Howlin' Wolf decrying the government website on his six string.
Just with his like.
I will say I'm kind of disappointed by this because I actually do really like one Van Morrison album. Like
a
full album.
He has this album called Veden Fleece that's really, really good. I used to listen to it a lot in college, and I have like good memories associated with it. And now I'm just gonna be thinking about the fucking government website, and it's ruined.
He's got a couple, like, I mean, Wild Night, although I definitely first heard that with the John Mellencamp and Michelle and the Degio Cello version from like 1994, but that was him. And Brown Eyed Girl, obviously. Moondance is another wedding song. Moondance is maybe more for the cocktail part before the reception actually starts. I'm now picturing that, because he's accusing the government of being fascist, his pork pie hats, each one now says, "This machine kills fascists." This is the way that a protest singer's guitar would.
This brown-eyed girl kills fascists. Didn't people say that was like about anal sex too? That was like the secret, and then everyone was like, "No,
not.
It's not."
Sounds like a middle school.
I'm gonna try to wipe that from my mind.
Also,
unlike
hot dog, what is it? Chocolate starfish in the hot dog flavored water, which is very gross and is actually for sure about assholes.
Right. That's amazing, because like that's gross even if it's not about assholes.
Yeah.
Like it's just disgusting in every possible way.
Yeah. For assholes, by assholes, about assholes. Mm-hmm. I say that as somebody who purchased the album when I was in high school.
I not only purchased that album, I purchased Results May Vary, which has the distinction of being Limp Bizkit's worst album. I bought that.
is that the one with the Behind Blue Eyes cover on it?
Yep. Yes. The CD looked like a pill bottle.
Very tight.
extremely tight. Very cool.
Very good.
Yeah. I've said on the podcast many times, ask my guitar teacher to teach me the Limp Bizkit cover of Left Behind Blue Eyes. It was a big, ooh, big moment for me.
That made him feel great.
Yeah.
yeah, we're moving on. Van Morrison, come on, man. That's what I say about that.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
A big come on.
Oh, come on.
There it is.
Exactly.
Number four is some new news. Oh, my God. So here's an idea. Here's the thing. When I got kicked out of the Zoom, it deleted the chat. This is Pepsi, though.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I will repost. And this story and the Van Morrison story came from Wet Bigfoots in the chat.
All right. Beginning again. Shelby, do you want to hit four again?
Number four.
Number four. This story also comes to us from Wet Bigfoots. So thank you. Pepsi's back with a new drink. That's I'll say this. They are launching a drink. We had a discussion about whether this is like a stunt that's designed to trick us, you know, like I think the Doritos for women or whatever it was. But I think they do intend to release this. I think they're going to try it. It's PepsiCo is launching a drink called Driftwell, which is a beverage to aid sleep. As consumers, they say they're like, as consumers struggle with stress, and they're like saying it's being released because of the pandemic, which is. Maybe that's what they're saying, but that's absolutely not why they made this. So it's the thing about it that's really gross to me, though, is that it is like still a canned sparkling, like, you know.
Yeah, it's a night soda. That's
yeah,
what it is.
It's literally, yeah, night soda. It's like.
Wow, like, I'm going to be thinking about the phrase night soda for a while. That's yeah. Really.
That's what I keep thinking of it as. I keep thinking of it as I in my head I keep calling it Pepsi PM, and
yeah.
it's a soda for nighttime. It's a night soda.
Yeah, they saw the success of Mountain Dew AM, which was pulled from the shelves immediately, and they thought we got to get it.
What was that, like coffee Mountain Dew?
It was like Mountain Dew with like orange in it, or so. But it's Mountain Dew is like has a lot of orange juice in it. But that's like it's like one yeah. of the flavors. But
I used to have night soda when I was a kid because we had at least for me, we had the caffeine-free Coke, not caffeine-free Diet Coke, the gold can. That
yeah.
was the one.
Yeah.
I guess caffeine was too far, but a tablespoonful of sugar
yeah, it was
fine.
Like, caffeine was not the problem with drinking Coke.
I never really had a problem falling asleep with it. So, you know, I guess caffeine, mm-hmm. I got the tolerance built in early.
Yeah.
The only soda we had in our house was Fresca. We were not permitted to have. We would like
Fresca
have soda
new.
Occasionally, but like.
No, Fresca's been around. Man.
Oh really?
Fresca's like a classic mom soda.
Shout out to yeah. Squirt. Squirt is some good.
Fresca
shit.
Reference in Caddyshack, so it's at least that old.
Oh wow! All right. yeah, but that's what it is, and that's the best thing is that it just does seem like someone storming into a meeting, and he's like, "Everybody, shut up! Night soda." And they're like, yes. It doesn't even really have. It says what's in it. I don't know. You know, I'm not a chemical genius, but it's got L-theanine and then magnesium, which neither of those feel like really they're gonna do much. You know,
magnesium's like a comp. Like they sell a lot of magnesium stuff at like the co-op. Like if you go to like the supplement. Part of the co-op, they will sell like magnesium drinks that are supposed to help you calm down. So that
yeah.
makes sense to me. I don't know if
the
they're
can
like
is
real,
very,
but
the can is very soothing visually to me.
I feel like Drift the can well. Is very soothing until you do that. Like doing that is not going to settle me into bed at all. Like it's just such a, and I feel like it's definitely going to be really sugary too. That's the biggest
yeah.
thing is that as far as I can tell, it's. Got sugar in it, so like,
no. It says zero calories,
oh,
zero
so
calories,
got,
zero sugar.
So it has, but it has you know fucking stevia or whatever in it. Like
so now that I'm looking at this, I'm like I would actually probably drink this. Now we're just doing an ad for
okay,
this because
it's
like
you would have to brush your teeth after drinking this.
Pepsi, send us some.
You can't.
Yeah.
Like yeah, send us
that's
this,
fine.
And then maybe we'll
yeah,
change
and
our team.
Yeah, brushing your teeth. I mean, to me, that wakes me up. So yeah, that's true. I don't want to have to brush
your teeth.
My...
Wakes you up.
I mean, it's an yeah.
Too much
yeah.
flavor.
To mint.
It's too flavorful, and it shocks your senses away. Yeah.
No, I mean, like, it's an activity you have to do while standing up. You know what I mean? I have an electric toothbrush. Like, you know, like if you're dozing off and you just want to get in bed, like, brushing your teeth can kind of jam it up a little bit, at least for me. That's I don't think this is that controversial.
Pepsi should not be releasing a night soda. They should be releasing a way to brush your teeth lying down so that you don't have to wake up again.
Yeah, Pepsi should get on that.
Yeah, come on, Pepsi.
Hey, we're known for our soft drinks.
Solve this problem.
Some sort of strange machine that we've been working on.
Hey, Pepsi, use some of your money.
I'm sick of being awake after brushing my teeth.
Give me a soda that brushes my teeth. Like, give me just one. Like, as I drink it, it brushes
them. It's just the most carbonated soda. It's super seltzer. It just bubbles everything off.
Super seltzer. It exfoliates your mouth.
Yeah.
It's great.
I have thought before that, you know, they have those toothbrushes for dogs that they just chew on them. I kind of wish that was real. I would, yeah. It was just like a little brushy thing that I could just kind of gnaw on. I was always bad at brushing my teeth, though. I was the kid I hated it. So I would do the thing where I ran it underwater and then put it back on the thing because my mom would check to see if it was wet because I was famously bad at brushing my teeth. Except I hated brushing my teeth, but I did like eating the Tom's strawberry toothpaste. So my mom really had a great time with me. She's like, so you don't like brushing your teeth, but I also have to stop you from eating the toothpaste. And I was like,
yeah.
Yes.
So it's like, you don't like brushing your teeth, but it's not the taste. It's just like the activity. Like, that's the problem.
I wish that was my voice when I was a kid. That's right.
Your mom should have made a deal with you. Your mom should have made a deal with you. Like, okay, I'll make you a deal. If you brush your teeth, you get to swallow the Tom strawberry toothpaste.
I think she was trying to stop me from doing that.
It's all natural. It's fine.
But it's, look, cost-benefit analysis, you have clean teeth, so you eat a little bit of toothpaste. Like, yeah. I feel like that's better than the alternative, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how much toothpaste you can eat before you have problems. Yeah.
God bless my mom for dealing with my flavor and taste as a child. Where I was like, do you like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? No. Like, what do you like to eat? Strawberry toothpaste and fried clams. It's like, oh, God. This little goblin, dude. What is this kid?
What an incredible combination of foods. Strawberry toothpaste and fried clams.
I love some clam strips. Let me in there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Love clam strips. Psychotic two things to be into as a child. A child where you were not growing up near a coast, right? Didn't you grow up in... Did you grow up in D.C.?
Do you not think D.C. is near a coast?
No, that's what I'm asking. Like, I for a second I thought you were from Michigan, but you just went to school.
He's on the damn Potomac. Yeah, yeah. Potomac's level water.
I know D.C. is near the coast.
Clams, fried clams are a thing I got a lot when we would go on. We went to North Carolina and we went to New Hampshire, and I get them both of those places a lot. There's a place called the Black Pelican that would serve me clam strips inside a Frisbee, and what a day that was. what a joy.
Do you get to keep the Frisbee?
Oh, you definitely get to keep the Frisbee. You play with it in the parking lot. But you're an only child, so you got to throw it to your dad.
Well, that restaurant had to go out of business because car windows were constantly getting broken in their parking lot by people just
whipping
clam Frisbees.
They switched to Frisbees from baseballs that they're giving out, and they're giving away bricks.
It used to be they would serve the clams in a discus, and that was a big problem.
Yeah, no, it was just a regular bowl of clam strips, but there was a shot put thing in it. What is that called? A shot? What's the name of the shot put ball?
I guess
a shot.
I don't know.
Cannonball.
Because you're putting it.
All of our fans who did shot put are furious at us right now.
Yeah, let's add shot put to the NFL Combine. Both us and the NFL should add it.
Sure.
I want to see more people doing
this. I tried to do...
It is called the shot. I just searched it.
Nice.
I tried to do shot put and discus and stuff when I was in school because my dad was a big discus thrower, and he's like, you'd probably be good at it, which is like a nice way of being like, you're a fat little kid.
You're a stout little teapot. How about you hurl this disc?
100% what that meant. But I was not good at it.
It's like, you should do I bet you'd be really hard to knock down. Like, what? Yeah.
No question.
Have you ever thought about playing offensive line?
You got a low center of gravity.
Kath just pancaking kids in Pop Warner, just pancake blocking. Yeah, that would be.
I feel like I probably would be good at that. Uh-huh. It's a shame that I never did it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that also sucks to have to be like, even if you're like really good at discus, it's like, it's one of those things where you could be like a sports star and still get no, like, cool, like you no credit out of it.
It's not
like,
cool. Yeah. You're not getting like I said, like my dad was a big discus thrower. He still has like some record. Like he's great.
Do you go
but
to the
like,
Olympics?
No, he has like a high school record. Yeah. Like he's not.
He has the Olympic record.
Yeah, my dad is a world record discus thrower. I've never mentioned this.
Her father is Heracles.
Yeah,
son of Zeus.
Yeah, my grandpa is Zeus.
My grandpa is Zeus. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were from New Hampshire. You're from Mount Olympus. I remember now.
She has a blanket made out of the Nemean lion that she uses when it's cold.
Yeah. That does explain why I saw Kath get hit in her. It ruins the joke because it's called the Achilles tendon now. I was like, yeah, the one time you got the tendon on the back of your foot pinched and you writhed in pain. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a bummer.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is really weird when I bring guys home and I just have the blanket of the Nemean lion on my bed.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. It's fine.
The episode Kath missed a few weeks ago is because she was in the labyrinth. She was tracking the Minotaur. That was where she was.
Man, I'm sick of having to do all these labors. It's so annoying.
God.
I'm so tired of doing labors.
Eli is driving me crazy conflating all these different Greek heroes that are not Heracles.
Yeah, I'm
not
just doing
Heracles.
Greek hero riffs. I know it's not Heracles.
Get him out of here.
I'm just bringing up all sorts of tales and mythology.
That was a good one. That was a good one. That was perfectly placed.
Look,
what were we talking about? Oh, Pepsi.
We were talking about
our podcast.
Night Pepsi.
Yeah, Night Pepsi. We should probably move on from Night Pepsi, too.
We should.
We've had a lot of chatter today.
Best of luck.
Yeah, send us some Night Pepsi. And call it Night Pepsi. Shut up. It's called Driftwell. No, it's Night Pepsi.
Working on my Night Peps.
Yeah.
Bob Seger.
Mm-hmm. Silver Bullet Band.
Number three is a story. A bunch of people sent this to us. Tupper Ward in the Discord was the person who did it in our Patreon chat. So, this story is from Alaska. A dentist there. A dentist in Alaska just already sounds like the setup for some like shitty pun or something. Like it's some like what do you call an Alaskan dentist? Fill in the answer yourself. I have not.
Molar bear. I don't know. That's just kind of.
All right. Hurtful.
It makes no sense.
The molar ice caps, like a cap tooth.
Yeah. Okay. And it's ice because he's like putting a grill on something.
Yeah. Okay. Is that anything? Just like this is the show now. We're just like, is that anything? Is that okay? Yeah. Well,
gonna try that bit on stage. Just saying molar bear and then waiting.
What do you call an Alaskan dentist? Molar bear? It's like, okay.
Explain.
It's like that punchline I dreamed a few weeks ago that I told you guys about.
Oh, yeah.
Molar bear is one of those. Thank you.
But that
Thank
one
Shelby.
Kid really hooting at the end. All right, so what happened in Alaska with this dentist?
His name is Seth Lockhart. He was 35, which again, it's like, as a 32-year-old, I'm always like, it's weird that a 35-year-old can be a dentist, mm-hmm. but like, no, that absolutely makes sense. I'm an adult. Yeah. Like I should be good at something.
Lockhart is French for the cart. His family was probably carts in the olden days.
Oh, it's Lockhart. So his family was probably famous for looking at carts.
Yeah,
most likely.
A long storied family of peeping toms. This guy comes from the Lockharts. Patty quietly shaking his head.
he was sentenced to 12 years in jail recently for a number of not super interesting crimes. Medical assistance fraud, scheme to defraud, some like licensing issues. But the main reason he's in the news is because he filmed himself performing a tooth extraction while standing on a hoverboard and sent it to people like, hey, check it out, which is Oh, this is really upsetting me. I can't listen to this. Yeah, please turn that drill off. I really don't like it. I'm like, it was starting to feel like faint. Like I don't like the dentist. But yeah,
I love the dentist.
I'm medium on the dentist.
Look, our podcast strives to express a range of opinions
yes.
on important
they
issues.
They call us
like
the three bears of podcasting.
This level of being at the dentist is just right for me. Yeah, so he has this video, and he's standing on a hoverboard doing this tooth extraction, which is a fucking nightmare. Have you guys ever been on one of those hoverboards? Have you ever tried one?
No, I never will. It's just off the table for me.
When I was working in TV, they like had some segment, they like had one, and they like let us try it. And I the only thing I remember is like I was working in TV, and I was on camera, so I was wearing like pretty tall high heels. And because of like your weight distribution when you're wearing high heels, if you stand on a hoverboard in them, you just rock it forward because like all the weight is in like the front part of your foot.
Yeah.
So as soon as I stood on them, I just shot forward and then slammed my face into a cement floor.
Like, oh, you're so like... lucky you're not on the internet. You're not a TikTok from that or whatever.
I'm so, especially because this was in a television studio. So like, it could have been filmed.
Literally
in
the worst
high
place.
Def.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Live streamed. Yeah. I never really got the value prop on those hoverboards because it was like, hey,
yeah, they're stupid.
You can look like an idiot, but also this might explode. So not as strong, you know.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen one in person. I don't think I've ever been in the same room as one.
I've just seen them on people were riding them around the streets of New York for a while.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like I've definitely seen them in the street.
I've seen those like skateboardy ones, but I think those are Segway things, right? Like the one wheel. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Those are the hoverboard days, see, they were a big like
the guys like
weird guys that are like flexing and like it would be like always some dude in this like one of those outfits that's like too fresh. You know, is like the old like take one thing off. It was like it would be like impeccable crazy sneakers and like moto jeans and like a kind of crazy patterned shirt and big like Cartier sunglasses on a hoverboard kind of scooter.
It's like those kind of guys, and then the guys who were like 40 in 2014 making jokes about Heelys or whatever on Twitter. Those are the people to me was like the market.
Yeah.
That I,
one
yeah.
time in Bed-Stuy, I saw a guy on a motorized wheelchair with a woman on his lap. That was incredible.
That's sick.
It was like
that's like a hoverboard, but good.
Yeah, and she was sitting in it like, you know, it wasn't like we're getting from place to place. He was like, "This is my lady," just rolling
lady,
down the street.
Yeah.
God,
she was that behaving rules. Very suggestively. Yeah. No, I don't
know. But yeah, so my point in relating that anecdote, apart from that, it's funny to imagine that happening to me, is that they're very unstable. Like, you do not want to have a drill in someone's mouth while you are standing on a hoverboard. Yeah. That is an absolute nightmare.
To be clear.
We do not support
this. Is the person under? Were they unconscious?
I believe so.
It was an extraction, right? So it was probably local anesthetic, and it's like the equivalent of like filming himself like slamming a door with a string tied around it type shit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's not why you go to the dentist. Like, if that's what, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. But presumably he also... I mean, if they were unconscious and he did it without their consent, then yeah, that's extremely not good. Otherwise, it's also not good.
Why are you going to this dentist? Because you can't tell me
cool, he's Alaska. How many are there?
He's got a hoverboard.
Yeah.
it reminds me of like he's trying to be. There's like a, I can't remember his name, but there's a famous plastic surgeon on Instagram who does stuff like this. Who does like a lot of famous people's butts and stuff. He's like a big like butt guy. And he like Instagrams himself doing surgery on people and like doing like Instagram memes like while doing surgery on people.
Yeah.
I feel like this guy was trying to be that, but dentist,
and presumably, unless that guy's a moron, he's like, people know the deal when they sign. You know what I mean? Maybe he cuts them a discount or something or whatever, but they know.
I think
that
they do
because
he does
be.
Like a lot of Instagram people's surgery. So I think it's like for promo. They'll like get surgery from him.
He specializes in the models that have a million followers to just post like what's one secret that no one else knows or whatever, and then pictures of them, and then people in the comments reply with stuff.
Yeah.
Like great, with, like, great
weird facts about birds or something, to be like, it's funny that I'm not horny for you.
It's like, how do a million people follow? Yeah, it's just like a, there's like, there's, it's like bizarre.
One of those models that's like in the midst of a global pandemic is like, now's the time to save the whales. And it's like,
yeah,
can we not, like, we'll get to that, but there's other stuff that we should be doing right now. Look,
whales are important. The whales are definitely further in line. They're ahead of Venus, you know, but
they're ahead of Venus for sure. Another thing that I think is very funny about this story is that apparently one of his charges is referred to, or one of the classes of charges that he's been charged with, is unlawful dental acts, which makes it sound like he's like committing dental crimes against God or something.
Yeah, sounds like he's Corbin Burnson from the movie The Dentist. Although those are not really dental acts, they're just murder and stuff. So I don't know if that's...
It does sound like he's
unlawful dental acts. It's like he drilled through someone's head. It's like, oh, right, that's just murder, right?
So, like, most of it was he was like doing like Medicaid fraud and stuff like that. That's like a lot of it, but it does absolutely make it sound like he's collecting teeth and putting them in a chimney, like that story we did years ago.
Yeah, tried to tell you that tooth was always gone when you come out of it. Like, pretty sure I had a tooth there.
I have an ad pitch for this guy. It's too late now, obviously. But when I heard Hoverboard Dentist, I could not help myself. I heard it in the Buffalo Soldier tune.
Sing it for us. Put on a little show.
But the Hoverboard Dentist, and I don't have anything else. That's all I got. That is how I hear it.
Yeah.
By the way, with Buffalo Soldier, there's, you know, that part where they're like, oi, 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 in the middle, you know, that little kind of like refrain. That's like the same tune or very close of a kids TV show theme song called The Banana Splits. Did you know this? That came out before Buffalo Soldier. Huh?
Banana Splits is the monkey in a car, right?
No, I think it's like a bunch of like live action, like guys in mascot suits. I don't really know what the Banana Splits are, but I was like, why is this familiar? And then it took me a while to like kind of reverse engineer it. Obviously, this has been like done ad nauseum all over the internet, people like with YouTube, like, look it up. It's very weird. Not really related to The Dentist at all, but I just wanted to say,
I didn't like the Banana Splits. They scared me a lot. I remember that now, looking at them.
Yeah,
they're like a bunch of people dressed as animals. This one dog looks like an absolute asshole. So there's that.
Anyway, sorry to interject. What were you saying, Kath?
Oh no, it's okay. We should probably move on anyway.
Did they behead him? What was the point? Is he put out on an ice floe?
He's in jail for 12 years. Assuming prison in Alaska is just on an ice floe. They just set you out to sea.
You get set adrift.
Yeah. So fuck this guy.
Best of luck to him. Hope he doesn't run into any molar bears out there.
Hey, call back.
Got him.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two comes to us from a really satisfying name to read and say in the Discord, Baggin Slaggin Barry. Just good stuff.
I would also like to point out that in typing the order for everyone, I wrote his name as Baggins Slagging Barry.
That's his full name.
Yeah, yeah, it was being
that's when his mom is mad at him. Baggins Slagging Barry? You get your patoot down here.
Baggins Slaggins Bilbo's. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here we are, number two. This is speaking of the whales, actually, weirdly enough, that we just said we're not going to save. Maybe it's related to this. Scientists baffled by orcas ramming sailing boats near Spain and Portugal. So this is a new development. Scientists are, as we said, baffled. They've never heard of these attacks happening. Orcas are harassing yachts, which is a very fun thing to imagine. Yeah. Damaging vessels and injuring crew, which is not great.
My vessels.
Just like
you can make anything sound not important by doing that.
Oh, yes. my vessels.
It is the most devastating. It's like, yeah, they've caused millions of dollars in damage to important shipping boats. And you're like, oh, my vessels.
my life savings.
my shipping lines. Oh, foreign trade. Oh.
My arm.
My leg.
So they're harassing these vessels. They're going up to them and saying they'd look better if they smiled more or whatever, yeah. I guess.
They're explaining marks to them. It's awful.
They're asking the vessels about their tattoos.
Yeah. And I guess they're just like, basically slamming into them. And, they're just not, which is unusual. And there's no precedent for this. Orcas are pretty big and, they can do some damage, obviously.
Yeah.
These boats are not that big. They're not like ramming like, shipping container, ships. It's like, yachts and stuff. So,
which honestly, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Knock over the bottle.
Yachts, absolutely.
Knock over the bottle of fucking Ciroc in whoever's yacht you're ramming.
Yeah.
I want to see that on Instagram. One of these like having fun. Everyone was wearing masks. We all got tested. And then it's like girls dancing on a yacht and it just gets rammed by an orca.
Here's a description of one. A guy was motor sailing alone when he heard a horrific bang like a sledgehammer. His wheel turned with incredible force, disabling the steering as his 34-foot yacht spun 180 degrees. So just like really whipped it around.
Damn.
And then he said he felt the boat lift and was pushed around without steering for 15 minutes. I mean, that's pretty scary if you're in the boat. That's not what you want.
It's kind of cool.
And orca are obviously, they have teeth. They have giant mouths. Mm-hmm. It's not something you want to be exposed to. Apparently they think it's all one pod. Who I guess are doing praxis or whatever, if we want to talk about,
they're
attacking
Antifa
yachts.
Orca or whatever.
I think this is more just a general, nature is
healing. Is
not healing. I think it's finally gearing up to take its revenge on everybody. Which
I think that counts as healing.
Yeah, I think humanity. If that does happen, if the animals somehow we just have to react like Matt Damon at the end of The Departed, just kind of like well,
fair enough.
Yeah.
You know what they're going to do? The animals are going to rebel and try to make us extinct. They're going to weaponize all the bugs to fly into our mouths.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be. That's going to be the worst part of it.
There's a scene I'm playing right now on on Twitch and stuff, this game, The Last of Us, which is like a zombie, a post-apocalyptic thing. And there's a scene that I just got to where it's one of those like, look at this city that's completely overgrown and nature's returned. But the animal they chose to show that were giraffes. And I was like, it's in Salt Lake City, I think. And I was like, yeah, giraffes aren't, nature doesn't do this.
They're not from there.
I saw one or two and I was like, oh, is there a zoo that they got out of? And then there were like six. And I was like, do you think we like push giraffes out of Utah? What is this? It's cool though. You get to pet the giraffe. It's fun. Highly recommend.
I mean, yeah, that seems cool. Did you see that picture it was on Twitter a while ago of how they transport giraffes.
But
no,
it was pretty cute.
I assume they transport every animal like Operation Dumbo Drop. That's what I just assume. So they fly them.
With Ray Liotta and Danny Glover. That's the key thing. They're very busy when they're not filming.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just some giraffes in a truck bed and like their big necks sticking out of
And so
it's funny
because
there was like a bridge in the distance.
Yeah.
So everyone was commenting like, what the fuck? And they were we can't go under bridges.
You have to know how tall the giraffes are so you know your clearance and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
not a lot of clearance.
On the orcas, though, it's funny that scientists are like, we're trying to figure it out because it feels like the most possible, most probable reason is that these orcas are being dickheads. It's probably they think it's fun to hit ships.
They're like Stampy from The Simpsons. They're just, some animals are just jerks.
Yeah.
That's the...
this one bad pod of orcas.
Yeah, they're just a bunch of scamps,
Mm-hmm. Oh, damn. Here we go. This is even better. A 46-foot delivery boat that was surrounded by 9 orcas.
Nice.
They rammed the hull for over an hour, spinning the boat 180 degrees, disabling the engine, and breaking the rudder as they communicated with loud whistling. Like, we're going down, man.
Yeah.
Like, this is...
they do whistle.
Yeah, this was a coordinated attack.
Stay out of
the
ocean. Stay out of that shipping lane. That is not... do not
it's
go
not
there.
I'm going to go in there in a big... encased in a giant orb and let them boot me around.
You're going to be like Wayne Coyne at a Flaming Lips show.
Yes, I want that ball. I want to be in a Zorb's ball and get knocked around by orcas. And then maybe I get swallowed, and then I just... And then it's just the tale of Jonah. So, you
right.
know. Good tale.
Yeah, that sounds fine.
Top-notch tale. Check it out. The tale of Jonah and the whale.
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I can't fault the orcas too much. I want to be their victim, but
they probably encroached on their on something, or they hurt one of the, you know, one of the babies or whatever, and they're like, get the fuck out of here, you know. And I don't blame them.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're running shipping lanes through their house. So yeah, they're probably ramming you. I don't know.
They're probably really bummed out. I mean, I know animals don't have historical memory, but if they did, they'd probably be like, remember when humans feared the sea? This sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's bring back right. Poseidon. Like, this is bullshit.
Let's bring back the sea being angry. Let's bring back that.
Yeah.
Remember what humans used to think whales looked like? And they were just like these giant scary things with, like, you know... Yeah, Doug, we want to get some of that energy back.
I mean, if you'd never seen a blue whale, I would assume it was a god immediately. Yeah, I would have been like, exactly. We're being punished. Hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the Leviathan right there.
Yeah.
So,
you know.
Well, good for them.
Yeah.
I think we've come down on the side of the orcas now.
Yeah, we're pro orca here.
Should we go number one?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
First, I feel we should address, speaking of Kath spelling, a gaffe made by Kath.
Like, you hung on to this for like an hour and 20 minutes.
You've been sitting on it. Jesus Christ.
You're getting exposed. Kath is writing the list of stories. This is a story about, a child play place, Chuck E. Cheese. And we discovered...
What was their fake pizza place name? Pasquale's?
Pasquale's Pizza.
It's about Pasquale's Pizza.
Mm-hmm. We discovered that Kath apparently did not know that it's Chuck E. Cheese. Kath thought it was just Chucky, as in the doll, cheese.
I mean, I knew. I just, like, didn't think about it because...
Yeah.
Why would I think about it?
Why,
but yeah, I spelled it Chuck E. Cheese, like I-E, and then Pat and Eli were like, haha, and I was like, what? Is it with a Y? And then I got laughed at more.
Yeah. And then we had to remind you that entertainment is his middle name.
Entertainment, I'm aware. It's just like, I don't think about Chuck E. Cheese a lot. Like, it's not a place that I...
We sent you spiraling, because then you were like, is the cheese with a Z? Because you were just like, I don't even know anymore.
I don't even know.
But
I used to live right by a Chuck E. Cheese, actually. I should be more aware
of this.
Damn,
that's the dream. Wow, I would have been there every day.
I was 24.
All right, you know.
Charles Economics Cheese, if you're nasty.
No!
Charles Economics Cheese, if you're nasty.
Why is she? Like Diamond or Silk?
What is that?
No, it's that lady from the Instagram show. We've talked about
her. Got him!
That one.
Oh, no.
That lady.
All right.
Why? Everything she says is, if you're nasty. Like, she says that all the time about...
It's about to get nasty.
That one at least kind of makes sense, because it's about Miss Jackson, because that's what she's referencing. Like, Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
Charles,
but, like, you can't
Economics
just...
Cheese, if you're nasty.
You can't just say everything is if you're nasty.
Yeah.
Like, that's not...
If everything's,
that's not like a condition you have to put on things.
If everything's nasty, nothing's nasty. It has to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is
sexy.
God, what a voice.
Wow, that's a new level of horror right there.
Don't want to, just imagining hearing that voice more than once in my life.
Check out the Bobos on Super Freak.
Yes!
I have no idea what that's
addition
from,
to the,
but I'd love to know.
It's from She's All That. It's like the best line in She's All That. Can you play it again?
Check out the Bobos on Super Freak.
Just an amazing line, an amazing line reading.
Everything about it is great. Like, the idea that she's Super Freak because she's, like, kind of a nerd, that's, like, the thing that makes her a super freak.
Mm-hmm. Bobos, yes.
Bobos. Check out the Bobos on Super Freak. We did that movie for Master Pancake, and in the show, my friend Joe says, like, it's entirely possible that Bobo's, because he's talking about her tits. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's entirely possible that Bobo's was just a typo in the script and Paul Walker just didn't know. Like,
I mean, it's great. It's a great typo.
Very possible. Like,
instead of boobs, it's, just swapping the, swapping the O.
It's up there with, like, the discovery of penicillin as, like, one of the landmark accidents then, I think.
That's like silly putty.
Yeah.
Also, very fun fact about that movie, written by M. Night Shyamalan.
Written
for real
by a dog.
under an alias, written by M. Night Shyamalan.
Sem Bite Wamalan. This is, but anyways, this story. So this is Chuck E. Cheese, if you're not aware, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but has declared bankruptcy. And as such, they have quite a few tickets, 7 billion to be exact, that they no longer need because people are not going to be earning them, winning them.
7 billion with a B.
7 billion tickets.
Insane.
7 billion. As many dollars as it took to build SoFi Stadium plus 2 billion more. That's how many tickets we're talking.
One ticket for like every person on this earth.
That's what they should do, honestly. Send everybody a ticket. And laminate them or something. But yeah, so the thing is that apparently they looked it up and they were like, it costs too much. They call it cycling through the supply chain, which I can't really imagine how you do that with tickets. But so they're just like, look, we're going to shred 7 billion tickets, which talk about like satisfying. Can you imagine feeding 7 billion tickets into a shredder? That would be...
It would take you... That sounds like something that, like, they would give you to illustrate what a large quantity 7 billion is. Of, like, if you had 7 billion tickets and you fed each one of them into a shredder, it would take you 200,000 years to shred them all.
If you had 7 billion tickets and you fed each one of them to your child would die. but, yeah, I mean, just imagine, because you guys remember... the ticket counter where you get to take all your tickets and then you put them on the ground and you put it in and it starts sucking the tickets. Maybe you do a little dance. Maybe you have a little fun.
Yep.
Feeding 7 billion into there. Just like, dude, just make that Chuck E. Cheese. Get rid of the games. The game is now feeding 7 billion tickets into a thing. You know?
I would go.
It's like Dr. Pimple Popper or something. It's just like, just do it on Instagram.
They're just all in a warehouse and they're just going to blow up the warehouse if they get the approval. That's all they can do.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, so what are they asking for?
Chuck E. Cheese has black hole technology and they're going to open a small black hole in the middle of the warehouse and suck everything in and then close the black hole.
So, sure. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was going to say
them
like.
Put in the Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Let's see what happens.
I was going to say like, fake campaign on Twitter, like hashtag send us the tickets. I don't think that will happen, but I do think that we need to make sure they film the shredding because I would love put in one of those shredders in, the industrial ones that you can watch them throw like chairs in and stuff. Do that. I think it'd be funny to put it on the hydraulic press channel and it just doesn't do anything because they're flat. Just like boop. But
what are they asking for with the 7 billion tickets? Like, is there more to the story or is it just like they have 7 billion tickets?
They have 7 billion tickets and they're going to shred them because they found out it's the cheapest thing they can do. Yeah, they're not clear on what cycling through the supply chain would mean.
What does
mean?
That mean?
Like, I don't know.
But like how is that concept referred to in this article?
Whatever they normally do with them, putting them in circulation like as if they were money, like sending them to the stores that are to the places that are open, running them through the machine, stuff.
How is the phrase cycling through the supply chain? Like what sentence is that in? What is that? What does it say?
It's cheaper than like destroying them, paying them to destroy them is cheaper than like using them in their normal course of business.
Yeah,
I understand that. I just want to know what the sentence says.
All right.
Please tell me.
It's a bullet point. It says cost to destroy less than cost to cycle through supply chain.
Okay, yeah. That's all I was wondering. It was just I kept asking and then Patty would start explaining it and I was like, no, I just want to know what it says.
We got it. We did it.
Now
we
I know.
Did it.
Thank you.
It's actually very expensive, which is kind of funny too. It would cost a million less to shred them, but it's going to cost $2.28 million to shred this many tickets, which is crazy. Yeah. I mean, I feel
it's a lot of tickets.
Yeah, but it's just time. Just, you know, If they're all connected, much easy. Yeah. Just sucks them
How
in.
Much is one bunker buster missile? Like, just blow it up.
Just fire a Moab at 7 billion tickets. Put the tickets on that island of plastic that is in the sea and then hit it with a Moab. That's what I would say to do.
That solves the problem. Blowing up the plastic island, the Pacific garbage patch.
Spreading it out.
Blow it up blow it so up. It spreads.
Yeah. Say,
yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to shred it. I would love them to film it. I would like to see it. Yeah. And
I'm telling you, it's that, like, if it would take hours, if they're going to, if it's going to be shredding tickets, like, you know, putting it through a shredder, like the film of that would be 6 months long. Like, it's
perfect.
I feel like it's
throw it on Twitch.
All right. Fair enough.
Throw it.
They should put it on Twitch.
Throw
That's
a webcam
actually
on an industrial yes. shredder, shredding 7 billion Chuck E. Cheese tickets.
That's a great idea.
Yes.
And I feel like through ads and stuff, they could maybe get a little bit of that money back.
And but
you know,
it's a real gift of the Magi situation, because then they don't have the tickets. They're like, oh, we can reopen, but we have no tickets. You know, doing a lot of Gift of the Magi references lately. Bringing it back.
Yeah.
I've noticed
bringing
that.
O. Henry back.
A lot of O. Henry.
Yeah. One of the top tales, along with the Jonah and the Whale, Gift of the Magi, like some of the best.
We're having a very mythological day. A lot of folklore on the app today.
Yeah.
Rip to the tickets. Rip to Chuck E. Cheese, honestly.
Rip to Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, it's bankrupt. It's not necessarily closing down, I don't think. But
that's true.
Starting a GoFundMe to save Chuck E. Cheese.
They have to petition the bankruptcy court to up the pricing of the tickets. So you need more tickets to get one of those spider rings now.
Yeah, they're just going to... The inflation is...
That's why they went bankrupt, is just because they were underpricing all of their prices.
We're giving away too many spider rings.
Yeah. Guys...
Just an accountant bringing a message to the CEO. Like, sir, we can't...
Running up the hall.
You've been undercharging for those sticky fingers that you throw at a wall and have it stick to everything.
Some clerical error where they're like, did you know each spider ring costs $5? Like, we've been spending billions of dollars on spider rings. And, you know.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Chuck E. Cheese is basically like everything they gave out. It's surprising because everything Chuck E. Cheese gives out is a choking hazard. Like, that's like their main thing is they're like, here's some stuff you can choke on. Like, just a variety.
Here's
of...
some tiny trash that we're going to give to a child.
That's what it is. Especially if you're not good at skee ball. Yeah, you just get, it's like, cool. Can't wait to find these in the pockets of my kid's jeans in the washer. It's a fucked up spider
you know what?
Ring.
You know what they give you? They give you all the low level prizes at Chuck E. Cheese are things a baby would hand you.
Yeah.
Like a baby would open palm drop in your hand.
Honestly, the guy behind
go,
the counter
Thank
should
you.
Be a baby. You should get the baby should get you the stuff.
Yeah, and do that. Give you the little treasure and drop it in your hand.
Well, that's like, you know, if you want to get rid of a certain amount of tickets, they sometimes have like mystery boxes or whatever. There should be an option that's just baby's gift, and it's like 10 tickets, and you just get whatever the baby gives you.
it's like one of those claw machines, but it's a baby.
It's just a baby picking stuff.
It's just
a big window. I mean, this is obviously illegal because you can't make the baby do it, but just a big window full of prizes and a baby's wandering around in there, you know?
Baby's gift.
Yeah, baby's gift. You have received baby's gift. That's in an RPG. You talk to like a baby and it's an undroppable item. It's stuck in your inventory the entire game. It's baby's gift.
You can't use it and you can't get rid of it.
Yeah, just fucking cluttering up your screen. Like, God damn it, this fucking spider ring. Nothing.
It's just like three stale Cheerios. Baby's gift.
Yeah. Window pops up. It's like, you have received baby's gift. And then you open your inventory and it just says stale Cheerio 3. It's like, cool. Great. I can't get rid of these.
Nope.
Yeah. If you get rid of, you can get rid of them, but if you throw them away, then it just changes to Cheerio's dust and it's in your pocket forever. You never get it out. Oh man. Yes. Baby's gift.
Well, yeah.
Very possible title. Cheese. Strong title, Baby's Gift.
Yeah, that strong feels title. Like a strong front runner.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, so please put the ticket shredding on Twitch. Send me one of the skee ball machines for my new apartment. God, can you imagine if my neighbor played skee ball all the time?
I'm just imagining, like, you sent me pictures of your place, and it's nice. Like, you got a good spot, but, like, It's a studio apartment. Like,
yeah, I mean, not a lot of apartments have space for a skee-ball machine.
But particularly just one where it's like already just one room and there's a skee-ball machine.
Yeah, you can see it at all times. You're never far away from this.
The only time you can't see the skee-ball machine is when you're in the bathroom with the door closed.
I did some research, and arcade machines are way cheaper than I thought they were. Like, I want like a Turtles in Time machine.
You're just going to have the Tom Hanks in Big Apartment pretty soon. That's where all your Patreon money goes, folks. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just get we're all going to get
You're getting
pinball
me a
machines
Turtles in Time arcade cabinet.
Just get one of those MAME cabinets, and then you can just...
That's what I'm saying. They're not that expensive. Yeah. We'll discuss. Let's see. Yeah, it really does take away from the...
Let's launch into this in an hour and a half. Yeah. Well, okay, so MAME is...
Yeah.
No, we should probably plugs, right?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you again to our sponsor and Counterparty. Check out, as we discussed earlier in the show, it's a live D&D podcast, it's a D&D podcast, encounterparty.com. Check them out. And, hey, if you want something to check out that relates to us, patreon.com/whatatimepod. We got lots of bonus episodes. We got live show video. We got the Roadhouse commentary track. A lot of stuff on there, a lot of bonus episodes, obviously. We got some goals coming up at 1100. Eli's going to do a fantasy art show with some of his art from the old days, live on Twitch, I guess. Yep. And at 1200.
I know what you meant by that, but it was funny to imagine that he's doing a fantasy art show, like it's fantasy football or something. Like he's picking his favorite art.
Yeah, I'm going to rent out a gallery. Put it up. Yeah.
Like an art show that's like a gremlin, like a gremlin's paintings, and like a various fantasy creatures are at the show in the gallery. And at 1200, we're going to do the Death Nut Challenge, which is eating a bunch of spicy nuts. Come donate or join us and watch us suffer. That's pretty much the pitch here, I guess, for these goals.
For both of those, yeah.
Yeah, and at 2000, we're going to do the NFL Combine.
Yep.
And also the shot put now. We're adding shot put.
Oh, plus the shot put.
Kath just wants to flex on us with her shot put skills.
That's right.
Yeah.
I told you I was bad at it, so.
You hit somebody and they banned you.
Yeah. We also got the Tee Public. Link in the description. There is a couple new shirts on there. The Yas Bean and also the Cthulhu Hole, both based on riffs by Josh Gondelman. The Cthulhu Hole is designed by friend of the show, Jackopedia. So check those out. If you like the show, give us a review on iTunes. If you want to join the Discord, link in the description, the private channels for things like mailbag and story suggestions are at the $10 Patreon subscription level. What a Time Pod on Instagram, what a Time Pod on Twitter, whatatimepodcast@gmail.com. And I don't have anything to promote. I'm Patty Moe and the stuff. My voice is being strange, so I'm going to stop.
Froggy Mo.
Eli, you have a new thing to plug, so you want to go next?
Yeah, sure. I have a new thing that we did the first episode this past Thursday. It was really fun. Unfortunately, Twitch did not save the VOD. Jeers to Twitch for that. But it's going to be every Thursday, a show that I'm doing with some friends of mine from College Humor, Brian Miller, Tony Wilson, and Carolyn Page. It's called TV&D. And it's a live play Dungeons & Dragons thing where the adventuring parties are based on TV casts. So the one we did last week and the one that we do next week is going to be Seinfeld. It is Kramer as a wild magic sorcerer. Elaine is an unarmed monk with flurry of blows. And I play George, who has no abilities or class. He is just a bald man with a pretty good amount of HP. It kind of just takes the punishment. But it's very fun. It's on Twitch. We have a Twitter at, I think, TVND, word end spelled out. And then Twitch also is twitch.tv/TV, the word end, D. That's at 9:30 EST or ET, I don't know, every Thursday now. And then also you can follow my personal Twitch at twitch.tv/pig_dog. Like I said, I'm playing Last of Us right now. Probably going to finish that. And then I might play the old Marios. Might see me, see my eyes become wistful as I race a penguin down a slide. It's possible.
They're fun.
And then, Twitter and Instagram, I think everybody knows at this point. But it's my name. And then Instagram is Chili's Restaurants.
I have another podcast called Lie, Cheat, and Steal. That we do one free episode a month and two Patreon-only bonus episodes a month. It's a true crime podcast about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters. We just recorded two really fun ones. The bonus episode that's going up once I edit it, which hopefully will be done by the time this comes out, is about Muhammad Ali fighting Antonio Inoki, and they basically couldn't agree on who was going to lose the fight. Like, it was supposed to be a fake fight, but they couldn't agree. So Antonio Inoki just lay on the ground and tried to kick Muhammad Ali for the entire fight for 15 rounds, and it was very stupid and funny. And then our free episode that's coming out in October, my co-host Pat Royce worked at a pawn shop for years and told us all about working at the pawn shop and also the various scams that people would try to run on him at the pawn shop. So it was very fun. I'm Kath Barbadoro and everything, although like I said, I deactivated my Twitter, so if you can't find me, that's why. I'll probably come back eventually. But yeah, that's all I have to plug. Thank you for listening.
Thanks. Tell your friends. Leave a review.
Please do.
Yeah. Bye.
Goodbye.
See you next time.